I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. Hearts go back 3 points clear at the top after beating Celtic in Wilfried Nancy's first game in charge. Rangers are back to winning ways at Kilmarnock, but Motherwell stay third, and there were big wins for the likes of Hibs and of course St Mirren, who set themselves up for that League Cup final next weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna.
What a weekend, Gordon. Wilfried Nancy loses his first game as Celtic manager. Hearts go 3 points clear. Bojan Miowski gets a couple. Kieran Bowie gets a couple. Your boys win again. And there's a wee bit of controversy in there as well. We might get calls about Jack Burton and Mo Diamandé, among others, later on. And if we don't, we can always get a Connect Four out the game's cupboard.
It's that time of year, board games are all in rage. Wilfried Nancy should have known, Kenny, that the worst footballing environment in the world for picking up on these things and blowing them out of proportion is right here. And we wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely not. Again, he gets the tactics board, which many a coach do, and it's all kicked off. It doesn't help. You don't win the game of football. But again, the title race takes another twist. Just when you think Hearts were stumbling, Celtic were on the march and closing that gap at the top, Hearts go to Celtic Park and win. So again, it just adds to the intrigue of this season.
0141 951 1025. Come on down. There is so much to get through. Celtic fans, what about yesterday then? It was Wilfried Nancy's first game in charge. What did you make of it? What did you make of the game itself, the tactics? I'm sure I'll hold my hands up and apologise. I think I said at least 12 times last week that he surely wouldn't go to a back three in his first game in charge, and indeed he did. Some people say, well, they lost the game and therefore the tactics were wrong, but surely that's not quite as simple as that. Maybe there was more to it. What did you make of the goals that were conceded? What did you make of the change of shape? What did you make of the, if you must, the tactics board? Let's not try and talk about the counters and the tactics board for the full 2 hours, though. Can we agree with that?
The colours of the counters?
Just maybe one of the 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And then get round to something else. Would that be appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Good, okay. You want to talk about the tactics board? We are here for you. Or anything else to take away from it, you Hearts fans as well. You must be feeling pretty good about yourself. Everybody's starting to write you off. Maybe you were starting to write yourselves off, and you get back to winning ways in Glasgow. So much to get through from that game yesterday. So give us a call right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, back to winning ways domestically. Yes, not a vintage Kilmarnock side at the moment, but surely you got to take that. It'd been a difficult place to go in the past, won very convincingly. Maybe most importantly of all, Bojan Miowski scoring a couple, strikers really needing goals. And there was a few controversial moments in there as well that maybe we can discuss, as Roger Hanna alludes to. St Mirren fans, how pleasing was it to be teeing up for the cup final with a league win? Motherwell fans, should we be talking about you winning the league? Or are we getting a bit ahead of ourselves? Do get in touch, loads to get through. And for those of you that have booked your flights over the weekend, we'll hear from you as well. 0141 951 1025. However, to set the tone for you, these two are going to tell you everything you need to know. What was your result of the weekend?
I was there for Super Scoreboard, St Mirren. Desperately needed a win for Stephen Robinson. And if you're going to get one the week before you're playing in a cup final. So they deserved it. A couple of good goals and a couple of selection dilemmas now. Daz's pal Alec Gogic in central midfield. I did not see that coming. You wonder if we'll repeat it for Hamden against Celtic on Sunday.
Hearts, again, it's first win in five games. A lot of talk of them. Bottles crashing, stumbling. Again, results not going their way. But then they go to Celtic Park and get the win. It's, again, I think Derek McKenna said after the game, to beat Celtic home and away in the first two games he's seen, big achievement for his team, and I think it just stamps their league credentials. You know, it's a big, big win.
That's incredible, isn't it? Because you can afford to drop points elsewhere if you're going to keep winning the head-to-heads. You know, yep. They've come to Glasgow twice now and won, and then they've beaten Celtic, you know, at Tynecastle as well. So it certainly makes a difference in the league table. Right, I think, in one man's humble opinion, you had some good choices for goal of the weekend, Kenny Miller. What got your vote?
Yep, there was a right few good team goals, good individual finishes. I've went for Nisbet, the outside of the right foot finish. Again, the quality, that it's not an easy technique, that, and the quality they got in and the accuracy of the finish was, for me, was absolutely outstanding.
Your man, Gordon, Manny Longolo.
Oh.
Apart from anything else, by the way, five goals for a Motherwell left back. Stevie Ham will get five goals in about 12 years. But great. I think nine Motherwell players touched the ball in the move. And fair play to Regan Charles Cook, who was outstanding throughout the game. Nine times out of ten, the player would have had a shot.
Oh, no, I've done that for Big Boydie many a time.
And he teed up Longello for a great goal. Great team goal.
Shame on the two that didn't touch it in the build-up. Yeah. I can't even remember who they were. I know Maswanisi was one.
Let's just say O'Donnell and Halliday. I know he was not playing.
O'Donnell definitely did. We'll give him his due. But you're right, nine players involved in the move. It was an impressive one. Okay, what about your howler of the weekend?
There's not too much. A few refereeing calls that could have maybe made the cut, but not too many howlers over the weekend. I'm going to go for Dave Richards, Dundee United, spilling the St Mirren setting goal. It was pretty standard save. I think, again, it probably ended Dundee United's hopes of getting back into that game.
Sleeping at Celtic Park. No, not Paul Tisdale.
Stop it.
The back three for the opening goal. Remember, Kenny, when you were young, play to the whistle.
Play to the whistle.
Play to the whistle. The howler should have been Harry Milne's attempt at a shot during the preamble there. But Claudio Braga, he was the only one who did play to the whistle, stuck it in the corner, and Arnie Engels was playing them all onside.
Yep.
Loads of them as well, eh? Not like one player switches off. Like, everybody.
Yeah.
In that area. And then what it leads to is a big analysis of, were the tactics wrong and was this wrong? If you get those moments right, maybe the rest falls into place. Finally, your top man of the weekend goes to
Bowie for Hibs. Brace, again, he had a really strong performance at a good time. You know, Scotland just qualifying for the World Cup. Draws made. It's just a timely reminder that he's still there and will be fighting for that place on that plane.
Is that
summer.
The performance of a man who quite fancies a trip to Miami to take on Brazil? Is that what it can do for you?
Well, you know, when you see the draw and you're going to be going up against Brazil again, it's World Cup's on the horizon. It's a good time to have a bit of form.
Mr. Bojangles, Mayovsky, needed goals. Two for Rangers, two really good finishes, I thought. Either side of half time. And it did Rangers a big turn at Kilmarnock on Saturday night. And you wonder, Kenny, you're better placed than me, what a lift that will give the lad.
Yeah, listen, he'll need it. I think that was him double day's tally in a Rangers jersey on Saturday. So it'll do him the world of good. Not just for him, for the team as well. The team needed goals. There was a lot of talk the previous week about lack of creativity and goal scoring chances. And you obviously, like I say, two really good strikers finishes. First one, snapshot. I think it's a toe poke really into the corner, past the keeper before he can react. And a really clever finish for his second, and much needed win for Danny Rowe and Rangers.
Yeah, Rangers fans, Killy fans, it was an incident packed night. We've not even mentioned water bottles getting kicked and managers getting sent off and all the rest of it. So any thoughts there, do get them in. But I suspect we will start in the East End yesterday, where Celtic lost in Wilfried Nancy's first game in charge. It was a 2-1 defeat, which sees Hearts go 3 points clear. Celtic do have a game in hand, but there is a lot to get through. So Mark and Yoker can kick us off. Hi, Mark.
Evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Come on, what jumped out from yesterday? Because there's quite a lot to get through.
So the first thing I have to do is I now have to question Wilfried Nancy's judgment. He's only just in the door, and I don't know any manager who would try and reinvent the wheel in two or three training sessions. To play three left-sided centre-half is madness for me. The one positive of the spell under O'Neill was the partnership formed between Trusty and Scales. He then breaks that up with big gaps between them with the system they were playing. Trusty had far too many touches of the ball under that system, allowed Hearts to jump all over our midfield, and it left huge spaces at the back. So I've got a question to answer. What's he been watching for the last 5 or 6 weeks? And what coach in their right mind would think that they can come in 3 days and completely reinvent the way a team plays? I thought it was madness.
You mentioned, Gordon, that you'd said a few times in the last 10 days, I can't imagine he's going to come in and play three at the back straight away. And every time you said it, I kind of nodded away in the background. You're absolutely right.
None of you disagreed with me. Don't think of
No, I didn't disagree. I agreed with you, and I agree with Mark. I've nothing against 4-3-4-3. I've nothing against Wilfred Nancy's systems, the way he likes to play football. I just thought, at the minute, for who he was available yesterday, Mark, I agree with you. I don't think he had the personnel to play it. I don't think they had enough training sessions to get it ready. I think when they get it going, I think it will be good. I've no worries about it because, you know yourself, Celtic have better players than the majority of teams in the league. So if they play 3-4-3 or 3-5-2 or 4-2-4, whatever, they should prevail if they know what they're doing within the system. Yesterday, I just thought it was an unnecessary gamble and it was one that backfired.
I agree. You know, and I'm actually look at the Celtic squad, and I've said it previous, I'm just not sure how it fits that Celtic squad, that system. I feel, again, three left-sided centre-backs, you've got wingers who are receiving the ball deeper in the wider area, albeit the Celtic are always going to be on the front foot. Like you say, the systems don't really matter, but the personnel to play that system, I don't think Hatate and Negrin are the types of players that should be in and around a striker. I don't think they're those types of players. They are midfielders. I think they're more attacking players. Number 10s, if you want to call them that, should be in these positions, or a winger, potentially like a Jota, who could find himself in there with a real creative edge. I just don't see how it fit. Again, I don't think it was the reason Celtic lost the game, because I thought they actually played pretty well and there was a good energy about the performance. But I think even moving forward, when everybody's back fit, I still don't see how your Alistair Johnson's fit or your Kieran Tierney's fit.
See, on that, let me put it to Mark then. Mark, because there are obviously different ways of losing a football match, and just because you lose, it doesn't necessarily mean the tactics are wrong. There's an alternative universe here where the Celtic players don't inexplicably go to sleep thinking there's an offside, and Dyson Maeda scores a really simple chance he has, and Arne Engels buries a simple header later on, and then nobody questions the tactics. Did Celtic lose yesterday because the tactics were wrong?
Probably not, no, but I think you've got to give yourself the best chance, and by doing what you've done, that's no giving yourself the best chance. I think it's just madness to come in and think you can do that straight off the bat. Yeah, of course, we missed the chances. That's just, you know, score them is a different outcome entirely. But I just think, give yourself the best chance. Play with the hands you've got. Don't try and pigeonhole players into positions and circumstances that they've no idea what's going on. I just thought it was crazy. And I just have to say, I'm questioning his judgment now. I now really wonder how this guy's going to be going forward.
Listen, then, look, first impressions are important, Roger. And I'm not going to keep pushing back on it. Celtic lost the game, right? Yeah. I don't think Celtic fans want to celebrate possession or XG against Hearts at home when they've lost the game. But they did also start pretty well, and I think most people thought then, you know, if we'd asked you after half an hour, 40 minutes, I don't think anyone would have said, this formation's bad and he shouldn't have picked it.
I know what you mean, and you mentioned the tactics board at the top of the show. I've no problem, like Kenny says, I've no problem with the tactics board.
Just the colour of the counters that were on.
I was only kidding, not. But when you have to continually call over the captain and show him the tactics board, and explain to him again what you're wanting the team to do, that would lead me to think he's not had enough time prior to the game to explain to the team.
Was that not as a response to being 2-0 down? He wasn't doing that after 20 minutes. I assume that was an attempt to fix the fact that they were 2-0 down, though, and do something different from the start.
You know what I thought was going to happen? I actually thought you were going to say to Callum McGregor, listen, this isn't quite working, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get back to what you guys know. I'm going to take off, for argument's sake, Konecty or Young or Nygren, and I'm going to put on Donovan or Ralston at right back. So, and then the 3-4-3, we're going to do it, but it can wait till another day, because this isn't quite...
Well, that goes, so you do think they were losing because of the formation?
No, listen, if Maeda scores at the start, it's a different game, but he doesn't score at the start. And if they wake up at the goal, then Hearts don't take the lead. But they didn't wake up at the goal. So at that stage, I thought the fact he's bringing McGregor over, the players aren't doing what he's wanting them to do, or the players aren't understanding what he's wanting them to do. He's going to have to
tweak. Yeah.
I thought he was going to get back to a four. He didn't. And actually, the longer the game went on, and I know Kieran Tierney scored in the 92nd or 93rd minute, the longer the game went on, I thought Hearts were more comfortable in the game. The longer it went, you know, Kizaridis has missed a chance for 3-0. Shankland's a wee shot. Hearts look comfortable at that stage the longer it went.
Mark, the tactics board will analyse anything to death in this part of the world. What do you think?
I'm not got a real issue with that. I think having blue counters on is maybe not it. But anyway, that's by the by. You just get the optics of it. But I'm not a huge issue with that. I just think that you've got to understand the landscape of what you're walking into. He's been sitting there waiting to take this job for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Do your homework on Scottish football. Nobody's ever used a tactics board on the bench like that. It just doesn't look right. It's fine and dandy if you win the game comfortably, but if you don't, you're going to open yourself up to ridicule and scrutiny. And for God's sake, put green things on it, because it just looks better. It's not rocket science.
You know something, the green thing does, the green and blue thing doesn't bother me.
The optics
of a manager continually bringing his captain over and you know, going through it all blow by blow at the side of the park, I didn't think it was a good look. I kept thinking to myself,
does he not just think that he just believes in that sort of visual messaging, yeah, visual
listen,
learning?
Listen, possibly, but
managers pass on notes all the time and nobody bats an eyelid.
I can't imagine Martin O'Neill, Brendan Rodgers, or Ange Postecoglou doing that. That was what I kept going back to. I think they would have had greater trust in their players to sort it out themselves on the pitch.
But then it's different because he's only in the door 3 days.
Exactly. But I think he would have given himself a better chance had he not immediately gone for that 3-4-3, if you know what I mean.
Stevie's in the other line. What do you think, Stevie?
Hi, panel. Hi, Gordon, panel.
Hello.
Mark, it's really a quick point regarding the magnetic board. I remember going back maybe 10 years ago with Hearts coach Ian Carthrow. He wrote a note down, he gave it to his captain to run across the pitch with a note to one of his players to change the tactics. And with the censorious reporting that guy got for doing that was absolutely terrible. See if Pep Guardiola, 10 years later when he comes to Man City, was doing it, not a single word was said about it. If Pep would have done it, it would have been okay.
Yeah, I think there's a balance to be struck, because I was the same as everybody, right? When I see it, you go, oh, look at this, like this is going to become a meme. I do think here in Scotland, we tread a fine line, but I think we've got to be careful not to go too hard on the, we don't do that here. I think we've got to be a bit careful with that. Does that send out the best message from us?
Yeah,
well, the guy's just trying to, it's just a bit, as Stevie said, if Wilfred Nancy passed Callum McGregor a note that had the player formations written on it, you wouldn't be batting an eyelid tonight.
Yeah, but as Stevie said, when Ian Carthrow did it, Ian Carthrow wasn't winning games. Right.
That's what
when Pep did it, Pep was winning games.
So we're all focused on
Wilfred
the outcome
did it
rather
yesterday,
than
Wilfred wasn't winning games. If Wilfred shows that to Callum McGregor,
he was trying to win the game,
and Celtic storm in and win 4-2, then they'll be selling the tactics board in the superstore tomorrow.
I'm hoping we get it for our sports auction on Cash for Kids.
The bottom line is,
what do you think?
The bottom line is, they didn't. And I'll tell you what I could give you for the auction for Cash for Kids. I actually went and looked. I've got one of those travel Connect fours in a cupboard somewhere, and I thought, I don't remember those counters being red and blue, and mine were actually red and green. So if anybody's looking for green counters, I've got
I've got that colour deficiency thing that would send me nuts, the green and red counters. Kenny, I don't know how much sincere debate do we, is it just an optics thing? Because I agree with Roger, if he wins the game it's not an issue, so maybe it's not an issue then.
Yeah,
at all.
Well, listen, it's actually not an issue. It doesn't look great when it's... See, for me, I don't think you need to have a tactics board for Callum McGregor. Callum McGregor knows what he's doing, and he can, by the way, probably relay the message better than what Nancy can to his teammates. So all they need to do is communicate that message. Potentially, there may be an issue with the language, with English at the moment as well, that maybe feels more comfortable showing it rather than speaking it, you know. But it's so much more highlighted because of Wednesday. I always remember Brendan Rodgers was at Ibrox and they beat us 3-2, and it's a time
that
Bayata got sent off. I think it was Bayata got sent off on the touchline. Someone got sent off, and Brendan Rodgers pulls Scott Brown across, and everybody again, all he's doing is, he's trained it, he'll have done it. He says, listen, we've done it before. I think they went 4-3-2, and I think they had Edward and another, the two forwards, rather than going the 4-4-1, the traditional way. And Edward gets the goal and he scores, and again, he's a tactical genius. There was no tactics board needed, but it's the same thing. You know, you're getting information onto your team to try and help them go win a game of football. It worked that day without the tactics board. With the tactics board, it never worked. You know, I'm with you, Roger. I felt Hearts looked comfortable.
So you're allowed a big tactics board in the dressing room, but no a wee one on the bench. Well, is that the rule that Wilfried Nancy needs to pick up on here?
My colleague David Friel was telling me that the tactics board, I think Sky Sports, your other employer, Gordon, put it out in our social media yesterday. And the last time David looked earlier today, it had 3.3 million views. So it might not be an issue, but it is a point of interest to many, many people.
It was also tiny. It was like the size of the phone. I don't know how you get a bigger one. You can maybe see the space in a little bit better, and we might not get as much.
Why did Gavin Strachan knock the old laptop out? What was it? Was he not?
We had a problem with that as well, didn't we? We had a problem with everything here. Stevie, what? Let's move away from the board if we can.
No, it's a quick point regarding. See the first 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Wilfried Nancy must have thought to himself, by God, I've got a good team here. I've got a good team. Second half, he got the real picture.
Yeah, because this is, I suppose, what is unforgiving about football management. They do take the fall for everything. Celtic have lacked a cutting edge up front all season long. Yeah. But today, that lack of cutting edge isn't spoken about. It's Wilfried Nancy's tactics and Wilfried Nancy's tactics board and Paul Tisdale's state of sleepiness in the stick. Do you know what? Yeah. Maybe he just ran into the same issues that Celtic have had all season, albeit he decided to line them up slightly differently.
Celtic have not got a number nine at the moment. If they've got an Edward, a Dembele, a Lee Griffiths, Henrik Larsson, Chris Sutton's up front, they win that game probably because they probably are more ruthless when they've had their good moment, because there was a good energy about the performance at the start. And I know, again, something that is maybe not got off on the right foot, talking about it's maybe not about the result, we need the joy. I mean, there needs to be a balance. And again, I agree with the callers about do your homework, know where you're going into, know your environment and know your audience.
Part of the thing, Kenny, is if Wilfried Nancy had come in the day after Brendan Rodgers left, Celtic had lost back-to-back away games.
Yeah.
People would actually probably be sitting here today saying, listen, you know what? They're close enough, 5 minutes, may get equalised. There was signs of improvement. The biggest problem for Wilfried Nancy is he's come off the back of Martin O'Neill winning 7 and 8.
Thank you very much to Stevie. Keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller, joined now by Paul, who's a Celtic fan on the line. Sum up your feelings after yesterday, if you could, Paul.
Sum it up, I'll try and do that. Where'd I start? I mean, people are saying Celtic started well and what have you. Aye, for 15 minutes, for 90 minutes in a game, you know, I was screaming and shouting at the TV because it just, the players need to take a bit of responsibility here as well. They couldn't complete a pass, either went out of play or went to a maroon shot. Couldn't get a shot on target, again, went out of play or went straight to a defender. They all switch off and don't play to the whistle, which is rule number one in football, and Hearts go and score. And then my head went in my hands when I seen the 3 wise men of Christmas with notepad, the iPad and the tactics board sitting there nodding and planning, and then Hearts go up the pitch and score. That's off after that. The whole lot was just wrong. The tactics were wrong. The players, was it because they were all playing at a position? I don't know. But everybody, if you talked it right through the whole thing, I'd never had a good thing to say about it.
But it's funny because this sometimes does happen where Paul's a Celtic fan, he's got the emotional investment. I have no dog in the fight. I think Paul's been harsh on his team, but that's, you know, I don't know, that can happen. It's not to say there's a right or wrong.
You talk about the emotional attachment. Paul's clearly got the emotional attachment. One thing that surprised me, Gordon, was the number of Celtic fans who were pouring out long before Kieran Tierney scored that consolation goal. Now, Celtic, for me, are never out a game. How many times have you seen it over the years? You know, they'll get one, then they'll get another one, and they're always in it. And it was almost as if they'd given up in the team yesterday. I don't mean in general. They kind of given up in the team making that comeback. I was really taken by how many empty seats there were, as I think the board was put on for 4 minutes and ended up playing about 5 because the goal was scored during the stoppage time. But I think a lot of people would feel the same as Paul felt about it.
I agree. You know, I think, again, I think it's a little bit harsh, because I did think there was a, doesn't matter what system they played, there was a decent energy about them. I thought they looked like a team that were, I mean, they looked like the team that, I think, they're the only team that can play that way. I think when Celtic are at the top form, they are by far and away the best team. I thought they were excellent in the European game last week.
Yeah.
They were absolutely excellent. You know, and I think there's no other team, kind of team in the country can play it that way. But ultimately, when you're not winning, and it's only spells. You know, I think Celtic fans have been used to seeing their team so dominant over the years. And at the moment, unfortunately, they've just not got the same level of player on that pitch at the moment. So the players do need to take responsibility, or either the people who have brought these players in, because they're not at the same level as what the Celtic players have been in previous years.
Paul, it is only one game. So what does yesterday do for your impression of the new manager?
Like you said, I don't know why he went with a back three straight away. I think we could have eased into it. Got a cup final coming up. We've got a big game against Roma. It's just not giving any confidence. And as Roger said, a lot of people are leaving. I switched the office and Hart scored the second goal, because, and as Roger just said, after that, Hart's are more comfortable. So I'm glad I didn't watch it. I've got no confidence whatsoever. I think he wants to go and do his own tactics. I get that. He needs to get his own way of play coming into things and instilled to the players. But see, when you've got that opportunity to go on top of the league, and I know it's just when you see the three of them sitting there with a notepad, an iPad, and a tactics board, all nodding, planning, thumbs up. And while that's happening, they're not watching the game, and Schmeichel pulls off a safe at least a corner, and Hart's going to score from it, but unchallenged as well. Again, the players need to take responsibility.
It's like your wish list to Santa, isn't it, Kenny? An iPad, a notepad, and a tactics board. There you go.
It's a dream combination.
See, on that, Paul, to be fair, is acknowledging that players take responsibility, but it shows you that the fact that the manager ultimately carries the can for everything, because I know somebody will say, well, the manager chooses how they're set up from set pieces. Hearts are really good at set pieces, and Ocean McEntee wanted it way more than whoever was near him.
Was it Negrin?
Negrin the closest.
Here's another thing.
I mean, it's an incredible header, by the
way.
Does nobody put people in posts anymore?
No. You know what? No, is the answer to that. I think
there must be a reason behind that.
Well, it's because taking two men out of that area.
Aye, you've not got enough men. And again, we've went through this. I'm in that side of the game now, and you go through it every week. You have to give things up from set plays. By the way, a lot of teams now give up man-marking players as well, because they've got that many zonal players. So you've
I heard Scott Brown explaining the art of the zonal marking on the TV as opposed to the man-by-man and why you do it, etc., etc. But it used to be somebody was in the back post.
Do you see what I mean? That balance to be, you know, there are fundamentals that you need to get right, where it doesn't matter who's in the dugout, and it certainly doesn't matter what formation you're playing. Firstly, play the whistle. That's goal number one. Goal number two is, if there's a corner coming into your box, you need to do more than the guy that you're up against to go and head it. You know, do we overplay the role the manager has in these moments sometimes?
No, because you decide the setup, you know. Because if you're going in a zonal setup, there is a chance that you might not have the marker. So when you're saying, want it more than the guy, my issue with zonal setups sometimes is, who is responsible for that guy? Because what if it falls between the zones, and Roger will take it out?
No, listen, so I get that.
The manager decides that.
But what I'm saying is, to state the obvious, there's two teams, and Hearts are the best team at set pieces in the league. So every time they score one, doesn't mean the other team have had a massive set piece failure. Do you know what I mean?
Do either team, I know Celtic now don't, do Hearts have a set piece coach?
Yes.
I know they used to watch me if they have got a set piece coach.
And I think they might be.
Hey, he's earning his money.
And I think Rangers now do.
Yeah, I think Scott Fry from Lincoln could remember whether Hearts had won or not.
So, you know, this isn't done by accident, is the point I'm trying to make. Look at the number of set pieces Hearts have scored from.
It's a header that's on a post from a corner.
A good header.
So that really is an incredible header, it really is. But so to answer the question, that's not right. Like, that shouldn't happen. Whether you're man-marking, whether you're zonal, whether you've got guys on the post, there shouldn't be a free header where there's not even a Celtic player making some kind of body contact to try and put him off.
Andy is on the other line. Hi, Andy.
Hi, mate.
What are you thinking tonight?
I was a Celtic fan, and I watched that yesterday. What is that boy doing? What is not that Wilfred Nancy then? What is, like, why would you rip up a team like saying that Martin O'Neill's team won the performances probably on a great bit? We're grinding out results and they was like, what, they went 7 out of 8 or something? And then a thing that got me was I watched his interview after and he was like, it's not always about winning. You're at the wrong club, pal. You need to win at Celtic. You need to win at Rangers. Like, there's no, you can't be saying stuff like that. It just makes me think. Just sack him, the new.
Jeez. Oh, my word. Ange Postecoglou lost his first game, Andy, didn't he?
Lost 3 out of the first 6.
Yeah. He did. But I was like, you can't be coming out for that. I don't think he was.
You know something, Andy, of all the things yesterday, that actually didn't offend me because I sort of know the point he was trying to make. The thing that stung me a wee bit was it's the kind of thing Russell Martin had said earlier in the season. Winning's not enough, you need to do a bit of something. And he's just in the country, he speaks really good English, but it is a foreign language to him. I know the point he was trying to make. I just think he kind of stumbled over his words a wee bit.
It's just
a
simple messaging thing here, Kenny, isn't it? I think something the earlier caller mentioned that there should be like a kind of beginner's guide to Glasgow. When you walk in the door, right, and you just see, even if that's the message you're telling your players, because it does make sense. You're in the coaching game. That's the point. You cannot, sorry to make it all about Motherwell again, but they're a great example of it. See, when they don't get results, the manager is just saying, no, we keep playing this way, this is the way I believe in, and the results will follow. That's what he's trying to say. But when you're at Celtic or Rangers and you say, it's not all about winning.
Gordon, that's a really good point, and I'll tell you why I say that. I watched Motherwell in their first game of the season against Clyde at Hamilton, and the goalie got caught 30 yards out.
Yeah, I was there.
And the lad lobbed him, and he goes into the back of the net, and Motherwell dropped points against Clyde, and I thought, this is going to be interesting. And they weren't very good. Was it Peter Hedge you played at home and you got a late goal and 1-1-0? And, nobody really cared. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's the middle of July. Nobody's bothered about Motherwell in the middle of July. But that was him getting his message over to the players, and the players were still learning how to play his football. And he did it in games that didn't really matter, and he got away with it because he got through in the cup, and then he started the league and things are going really well. So it does take your time. The point I'm trying to make is Wilfred Nancy will probably get the 3-4-3 working with the players, and Celtic will win games and it will look really good. But yesterday he tried to do it too early, and the players weren't ready, and nobody was ready, and people do care because he slipped up at home to Hearts.
Because I'm assuming, right, I'm going to cut the guy a bit of slack, I'm assuming he cares about winning. I'm assuming he thinks winning games at Celtic is important. Is it just a messaging thing where you're trying to say that you focus on the performances and the results will follow? But then that again, that's not really what fans want to hear either, is it?
No, it's not what they want to hear. Every coach, even player, the players want to play well. They want to play a brandy football as a team. They want to, individually, they want to play when they want to win. And it doesn't always work that way. I'm with Andy on this. Like, you can't, in Glasgow, of all places, you cannot be saying that it's, I know they never say it's not important to win, but winning is the most important thing. How you do it, see if you can do it playing a brandy football that Ange did and Brendan did over times at his two spells at Celtic, then that is also great.
But on that though, I think, give or take a word here and splitting hairs there, I think that would have been Ange Postecoglou's mindset as well.
Absolutely would have been, because he wants to play his way.
What he said, but not playing that way for a laugh, but doing it because you think it is what will get you results.
It's going to get you results. Yep.
And it took Celtic a wee while just to get their head into what Andrew was talking about. We mentioned earlier, lost 3 of the first 6 out of Europe to Midtjylland, I think, at that stage. These things, they don't happen overnight. And it worked beautifully with Ange. Once the players got knowing what he wanted to do, it's worked beautifully for Motherwell. Mm-hmm. Once the players know what JBA wants them to do, and I think it will.
Mercedes Jens, if you will.
Okay. I think it will work beautifully for Celtic once they know what to do. Yesterday wasn't the day for it.
Because on that, and I don't make apologies for this, we always do it where we are in Glasgow and all the rest. Hearts are the best placed team to take advantage of your shortcomings, aren't they?
We are currently being watched in the Connecticut Hearts Supporters Club.
and is, they're not getting the credit that they deserve.
No, I didn't say no. No,
they're not getting any credit so far.
I don't think they live for credit. I think they're quite happy for where they are. Aren't you, Mark?
For laughing.
Well, the one thing's for sure, they are serious contenders now. When you come to Glasgow and beat Rangers, you come to Glasgow and beat Celtic, you've already beat Celtic in Edinburgh, you've got Rangers coming up as well, which will be another big test for them to see if they are going to kind of stay the distance in this title race. They're winning the big games, you know, they're not just beating the rest, and they had been struggling and a few questions have been thrown at them, and they come and respond like that.
Come on, stats man. Last time a team won in both halves of Glasgow in the same season.
Oh, listen, I thought I was doing well with Duckins and Azon on Saturday afternoon, Gordon. You've caught me out here. I'm actually not
I asked that sure. as if I know the answer. I don't know the answer either.
I'm actually not sure.
Come on,
I thought you were going to say Motherwell for a minute.
Oh, no, for goodness sake. Somebody can tell us the answer to that. And by the way, imagine they go and do the double-double and beat Rangers at Tynecastle. It would be quite something. Andy, seriously, I'll give you one chance to clear it up for us. You're not actually doubting the manager to the point that you'd sack him just now. Come on.
Well, the way I see it is, see, if I start a new job, you usually get like a 12-week grace kind of thing.
Right.
He's done. You see, after that, like, changing the tactics. Who plays three left-footers? Keane's Pierney's not a centre-half either. Why is he... Like, I mean, I know he's played there for Scotland.
But two things. You've given him a 90-minute period. You just said 12 weeks. You've given him 90 minutes. And then you've just answered your own question. Kieran Tierney has played left centre back in a three for his country numerous times. He should have been able to do it against Hearts at Celtic Park.
I agree. He should have been doing that. But Celtic don't have the players to play that system. The squad's no... Like, where does Ali Johnston play? Like, when he comes back? I mean, I suppose he played right wing back. And then, obviously, Sarachi, he would probably play there, but... They're all footers, bar Alison Johnson.
By the way, Andy, you make a great point. I'm just trying to establish whether that's a sacking offence or not. That was all. I'm no doubting that there was a few square pegs and round holes. Thank you to Andy in Broxburn. Let me run this past you before we go any further.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
It's getting serious now. I eased you in last week with a gentle nudge, a gentle reminder that you should get involved with this. Now, I can't emphasise it enough. If you text the word CAR to 84901, you give £5 to Cash for Kids. So you're helping disadvantaged children who really, really need your help right here in our local communities, just down the road from you. And then you might win yourself a brand new car as well. I cannot see a downside to that. It's a JQ5 Pure. It is worth tens of thousands of pounds. Gordon DL went along, took it for a test drive, loved it. He called himself the Sting rather than the Stig, but we moved past that. He makes these mistakes, and you could be getting it essentially for a fiver. The lines close 6 p.m. Saturday the 13th of December. Over 18s only. 100% of the donation, that's the beauty of it as well, every penny of that £5 goes to people that need your help in the local area. You can actually cancel the donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes. Of course, we'd hope you wouldn't do that. All the rules are at Clyde1.com. Massive thanks to Arnold Clark. If you want involved, and I honestly cannot see why you wouldn't, text the word CAR to 84901.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here. This is like peak Super Scoreboard nights like this. You know, we're one of Glasgow's big two lose, and the reactions to it are just through the roof. And they would have been anyway. That's before we even had to throw the tactics board into the mix and anything else. The only thing that would have made it worse, Roger, you saw the weather. See if he's gone for the brolly as well to keep the tactics board dry.
Yeah.
They would have had to extend the show. Optics, it's your favourite word, isn't it?
And yeah, not the type of thing you like, Kenny, the other time. Mm.
Right, Thomas is on in East Kilbride. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Roger. Hi, Kenny. How we doing?
Hi, Thomas. How's it going?
Well, how it's going, obviously, as a Celtic fan, is, you know, it could be going better, but I have to say, I've listened to the opening almost hour of the show, and I have to say that the reaction so far has been really, in my view, really over the top to this defeat. Like, you know, Hearts are top of the league for a reason. They've been the best team thus far. Even, you know, the much-heralded Martin O'Neill spell where we were winning games, the majority of them, we were rubbish, with the exception of the Feyenoord performance. People are criticising Wilfried Nancy, or Wilfried Nancy, my apologies, for things which are completely nonsensical. People are I know on the show you're making somewhat of a joke of it, but people are genuinely offended at the existence of a wee miniature tactics board with some red and blue counters. People are saying, oh, you should have kept it 4 at the back, 4-3-3 or whatever. You shouldn't have changed it. See, if he'd kept it and lost, they would have said, why did you not go for your system that you believe is the best way of getting results? And I just think it's the way it is in Glasgow, and I sort of get it, but because we lost one game of football, everything the guy has ever said in his life, everything he's ever done in his life, everything about this man as a human being is now open to being inspected and criticised, and I just think we need to chill out a wee bit, do you know what I mean?
This city has no chill, as Thomas knows fine well. I think there's room for, clearly there's room for Thomas's balance.
Yeah,
I think you made a really good point. We almost could have seen this coming because of the timing. He wasn't taking over a club in disarray anymore. He was taking over a team that had been winning.
Yeah.
And again, if you only focus on the result, then how can you ignore that? Martin O'Neill won all these games, apart from Midtjylland, and Wilfried Nancy didn't. How was that Celtic Park on Wednesday? I thought it was really poor against Dundee.
And listen, Gordon,
St Mirren game, Callum McGregor scores in the last minute.
Yeah.
So, Martin O'Neill, that's still credit to him. That's not to take anything away. But, you know, the margins in football are quite small. And, you know, as Thomas says, now Wilfried Nancy is an absolute dud because he couldn't go over the line against the team that's been the biggest threat to Celtic all season.
Yeah, that's not 100%. But, you know, you're talking about an overreaction there, Thomas. The previous caller, Andy, wanted Wilfried Nancy sacked. You think,
I mean,
that's
even by our standards, can we acknowledge that, like, let's not even let's not be serious about that, right?
No, listen, if we're talking overreactions, just wait till Hugh comes on the show later in the week.
He's probably at the front door trying to buzz his way in.
Absolutely. They're not going to sack him.
Oh, like, don't even say it. Why? Let's not dignify that.
It will get better. I'm sure it will get better.
It might not, by the way, but that doesn't mean
no. Because he has got footballers of a certain quality in the building there, it has to get better than it was yesterday. I joked in the show with you and Kenny last Monday night, Hearts winning at Celtic Park, it's just in keeping with everything that's happened in Scottish football this season. Mm-hmm. Celtic changing manager, Rangers changing manager, Rangers axing the chief executive and sporting director, Hearts storming to the top of the league, Scotland going to the World Cup, drawing Brazil in Miami at the World Cup. It has been a bonkers season, and I joked, you know, Hearts hadn't won in 4, so they're bound to go to Celtic Park and win in Nancy's first game, and they did, and it's just sort of in keeping with the mayhem of the season so far.
But if this is game one, Kenny, we all saw what could happen here. Are we remembering what games 2 and 3 are, particularly game 3?
Yep.
Unless game 2 is a disaster, probably get away with it. See if Roma come and win 1-0, 2-1, don't care.
Yeah.
Sunday. Cup finals are usually, they don't need any extra emphasis.
We said it last week on the show. It is a really tough start to Wilfried Nancy's Celtic career. Hearts, listen, you should still be beating Hearts. Celtic should be beating Hearts. It's at home. You talk about resources, quality of the players, but they never. So that one's done. Roma's going to be a tough game. Doesn't matter who is in charge, Roma's going to be a tough game. If Celtic do not win that cup next week, then honestly, get me booked in for next Monday. Or the fall, because it's going to...
We'll stay on from Monday to...
You'll
right
be staying
to
on
Tuesday.
For as long as you want to stay on.
Back, Kenny. We spoke about...
Cup finals are no easy to win, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're not easy to win at the best of times, particularly if you're going into a not great form.
Oh, you beat St Mirren with 9 men in a league cup final.
It was not easy, trust me.
That was easy enough.
Trust me.
And listen, when Walter Smith shoved McCoist out the road and went, came to the front of the technical area, I don't remember him holding a tactics board. He just shouted at Davy Weir and that turned the whole thing around.
And I was across on the touchline a few times myself because we were filling in holes all over the place, but... this is what it is. It was a tough week for Wilfried Nancy to come in.
It takes us back, Gordon. I mean, we spoke about, you know, when's this guy coming? When's he coming? Well, they've got 3 tough away games. You know, they've got St Mirren and Feyenoord and Hibs. You might not want him in for those 3 tough away games. But Martin O'Neill can take those 3 tough away games. He won the 3 of them. Bring Wilfried in for these 3 home games. Or, sorry, 2 home games and the Hampden game. And it's not started great. And Roma...
So what you're saying is he should have gone Monday, got the Dundee game first. Would that have been optimum? appointment time.
You know what should have been optimum? After the cup final. But that's another story. That's now not happening. But I thought Roma's insignificant. The fact they won in Feyenoord buys them a bit of time, buys them a wee bit of breathing space in the Europa League. They'll get through in the Europa League regardless of what happens against Roma on Thursday. But if they lose that game now, imagine the pressure of going to Hamden.
Thank you very much to Thomas, trying to balance things up. Felt there was too much negativity, wanted to put a positive spin on things. Getting a bit of balance on social media as well. Neil says, surely the stats from last night say the tactics worked. If that's after three sessions, how could it be after 3 months? Dies and chances, KT losing possession cheaply, Engels lazy, it could be different. We weren't great, not nearly as bad as some fans think. Let's play this, shall we?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, all manner of drama on the field this week, but Beat the Pundit's got its own drama as well. Did we not have a guy playing in the bath last week? I think he played Gordon DL in the bath.
Sorry, rephrase that.
No. He played against Gordon DL whilst the contestant was in the... Gordon DL wasn't in a bath.
Because it wasn't a bath night.
No, it wasn't. Something like that, anyway. You can take part...
When is bath night this time of year?
Wednesday. You can take part wherever you are, dry land or not, 0141 951 1025. The line's close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. Get in touch, let us know what you're thinking. You would be absolutely right if you've just joined us and thought, I bet the first hour of the show was spent talking about tactics boards. Yep, you would be absolutely spot on. And plenty more time for that if you so wish. We've got a bit of balance towards the end there. It was all very Wilfred Nancy sceptical at the start, but balanced up a bit towards the end of the hour. So however you're feeling about the game yesterday, get in touch, Hearts fans. I know you'll be saying we're not getting the credit we deserve. Or maybe, as Roger suggested, you're just enjoying the negativity coming from this part of the city. So get in touch if you've got any other thoughts there. Rangers fans, Kilmarnock fans, what did you make about Saturday evening? Clearly, results-wise, can't argue with that. Rangers fans, you needed to get back to winning ways. You did. Miovski getting 2 goals, could that be just as important in terms of boosting his confidence? And there were a few talking points in that game as well. So get in touch and we will speak to you after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I'm looking forward to this. It's a new week. It's always a bit of freshness, a clean slate, all those sorts of cliches. The pundits seem to be outperforming the listeners by about 3-1 at the moment. Over the course of the season, it stayed at pretty. The listeners started the season well. The pundits are starting to pull ahead. Mark and Pollock got a good win against Alex Ray yesterday. And don't forget, every question that the listener gets right, we put £10 towards Cash for Kids, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. Are you up for that responsibility, Jordan and Hamilton?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. How do you tend to do when you play at home?
Quite well. Been alright the last few days, so good. No bad. Looking forward to it.
And you've never played before?
No.
Good. Right, okay. I like the sound of this, Jordan. What we'll do is toss the coin. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Kenny Miller. And the red
side. Have you played
yet? So, what are you saying? No, I heard you, Roger.
I've still not played since you've been back.
Not as yet, not.
Wow. Let's see what happens tonight on the coin, right? Thank the blue side will be Kenny Miller. Red side, it will be Roger Hanna. And it is. Oh, he's in the hot seat. I think he's panicking. I keep saying it. This guy had a sensational Beat the Pundit record before he, whatever he did, messed away in Abu Dhabi, Atlanta. Yes. Yeah. Started hanging about with Ronnie Dial instead of Hugh Keevans. Forgot his old pals, but he's back. And
a great comparison, isn't it?
Next time Hugh wins Beat the Pundit, I'm going to get him to do the Ronnie roar.
Yeah.
Right to that, right to the camera.
Yeah. What a shug shuffle.
What I won't get him to do, did Ronnie not famously strip down his pants when he won the league in Norway?
Hugh Keevans. No, it was MLS.
Oh, was it as well? Jeez. Yep. Right, that won't be happening. Jordan, what I'll do is give Kenny something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Before yesterday, who was the last team to concede 3 goals to Rangers?
Pass.
In what country did Wilfried Nancy play professionally?
France.
Who's the oldest player to score in the Scottish top flight this season?
Pass.
Who's the only Scottish Championship team with a city in their name?
Pass.
Who managed St Mirren last time they won the League Cup 2013?
That was my dad. Oh dear.
Just guess a guy. Dear. Guess a manager. Three, two, one.
No,
okay, let's bring back Kenny Miller. Quite tough tonight, by the way. Just to, not to put any extra pressure on you, but I do think they're tough. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Before the weekend, who were the last side to concede three goals to Rangers?
Dundee.
In what country did Wilfried Nancy play professionally?
France.
Who is the oldest player to score in the top flight in Scotland this season?
Pass.
Who's the only Scottish Championship side with a city in their name? Pass. Who managed St Mirren last time they won the League Cup in 2013?
Pass.
In what year did James Tavernier sign for Rangers?
2015.
Which Nigerian former Celtic player has joined Port Glasgow?
Pass.
You should have known, to be
Kenny,
fair.
Kenny.
You should have known. We'll get to him. Right, let's go through them. I did think they were quite tough. Really, I did. I thought they were difficult. Forgive me, I made a slight error in your question, Jordan, but I think you got the gist. It said on my sheet before yesterday, but before Saturday, who was the last side to concede three goals to Rangers? I don't think it would have made a difference, but Kenny got it. Dundee, so 1-0 to Kenny. Wilfried Nancy played professionally in France, seven different clubs between 95 and 05. You both got it, so it's 2-1 to Kenny. I thought you'd have been part of some sort of club of like old guys that have scored in the top flight. When did you score your oldest goal, would you say, in the top flight?
Top flight was
39,
maybe.
No bad. Well, this guy is round about you, Brian Graham.
Brian Graham,
38. He's not much. Livy Bukila's quite old, isn't he?
Yeah, Livy. Only 36. I think.
Is only 36?
Yeah. Listen, when you're my age, 36 deserves an only.
As somebody who turned 36 on Friday, that was like a dagger to the heart there. Right, it's Brian Graham. None of you got it. 2-1 to Kenny. Bit of a sneaky one. This would have happened while you were away. Dunfermline's now a city. Did news reach Atlanta that Dunfermline's been given city status?
It's not Dunfermline Athletic, or does it Dunfermline Athletic City?
No, but it's got a city.
A city
in the name. So Dunfermline, none of you got it. So it's 2-1.
Bad question.
Still, who managed St Mirren last time they won the League Cup in 2013?
Danny Lennon.
Still 2-1. In what year did James Tavernier sign for Rangers? 2015. 3-1 to Kenny Miller. He's out of sight. And which Nigerian former Celtic player?
Cliff Ambrose.
Of course it is, because he just dots about everywhere doing random things, and we love him for it. I didn't even know that. Was it in the paper the weekend?
Yeah.
Port Glasgow.
Listen, a win's a win.
Yep.
There you go.
I did like a podcast with him last year. Is he not? He lives like in Bells Hill or something, completely random. As a North Lanarkshire boy, no disrespect to Bells Hill. It's just, I don't know.
Well, he's been at a few clubs, you know. He was at Morton for a spell, and then he went down into the juniors and what have you. I think he went down south, went to Workington, then came back up because, as you say, he stays locally.
Yeah, but did he not leave? It was Bury or Workington because it was too far. But then he joined another team that was just right next to it. It was about 20 minutes closer. I don't know, but he's now in Port Glasgow anyway. Jordan, it was not enough hard lines.
Well done, Kenny.
It's the first one.
You gave a tenner. Every penny genuinely does count, Jordan. You got a tenner to cash for kids, so we thank you for that.
No, that's good. That's brilliant.
Exactly. Every cloud. What did you make of your team at the weekend?
Thought they were quite good. Better than progress. Definitely not out of it yet either. So, yeah, they're all right. Looking good.
Well, I was going to say, what result would the Rangers fans have preferred? Then I realised how stupid that question is, because bragging rights and city rivalries are more important than literally anything.
Yeah.
If you were a fan of arithmetic, you might have wanted a draw at Celtic Park yesterday, but arithmetic doesn't come into this rivalry. Not out of it, says Jordan. But is that a fair assessment for Rangers?
There's nothing over at this stage, particularly when you look at the way Celtic are playing as well at the moment. Again, they're not in a great space. Hearts, it is going to be a big ask for them to keep this up over the course of the season as well. So there's nothing won or lost at this moment in time. But Rangers need to find a consistency, not only to their performances, their results as well. You know, it's going to be a big January, that's for sure.
Thank you very much to Jordan. Overall, what did you... You know, I think you still have to say that, you know, Kilmarnock is a difficult place to go. They're also nowhere near the version of themselves that they have been in terms of making life difficult for teams. That said, the old statement, you can only beat what's in front of you. Danny Rule will be happy with what went on Saturday night, will he not?
He'll be delighted with the result. Again, it's three goals as well. His striker's got two goals. It's probably a perfect kind of game for them in terms of who they were facing, because Kilmarnock are not the same team as they were a few seasons back. The two games I've seen Rangers against Kilmarnock have probably been the easiest games that they've had, definitely since I've been back anyway, definitely since Danny Rove came in. So it's a big win. You know, it helps that Celtic have then lost the following day. You close that gap there. Again, you're trying to move in the right direction. That's the thing under Danny. That's the two draws were disappointing. There's no getting away from that. But you get back to winning ways with, again, three goals, and I can't understate mm-hmm. how big these goals could be for Majorca.
Yeah, even those little details, Roger, there has been too many times Rangers have played games and we come on the phones the next night and there's nothing to like about it. There's nothing to take away from it. Whereas yeah. the 3 points speaks for itself, but when you dig a wee bit deeper, Majorca scores twice. There's a clean sheet, which they hadn't, you know, looked a bit ropey in the back, and Mikey Moore was the third one.
Listen, it was a big win. Any win for Rangers at the minute, it's a big win. They've had a decent run of fixtures. I think we'll know more about Danny Rowland's team by the end of the month, because Ferencváros away, doesn't matter, they're out of Europe anyway, and all but arithmetic, Gordon. But after that, you know, Hibs on Monday night, they've done okay against Hibs this season. They knocked them out of the cup, if you remember, when things looked really bad. They then went and won at Easter Road with a very rare away clean sheet. Jack Butlin saving that penalty late on for Jamie McGrath. So they've got Hibs Monday, then over the festivities, they've to go to Tynecastle to take on the leaders. They have to take on the flamboyant Harlem Globetrotters, as John McGlynn called them, of Motherwell at Ibrox, and they have to go to Wilfred Nancy's Celtic. I think between now and that Old Firm game at New Year, we'll find out an awful lot about how much development there's been in the Rangers squad, and it'll be a squad without Diamandé and Giga when they go to the AFCON.
Well, let's bring in Robert, who's a Killy fan in Lennox Town. How are you, Robert?
I'm all right, mate. How are you doing, guys? Good evening.
Good. Robert. Pleasure to have you on, Robert. What did you take away from the weekend? What made you call?
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Referee. Once again, I'm phoning about the referee. I thought that referee for the Rangers game was awful. Genuinely awful. So many things you got right. I mean, it's not even just the offside player in half. how the linesman worked that out, I don't know, but how Butlin stayed on the pitch is absolutely beyond me. It is genuinely beyond me how he stayed on the pitch. I mean, they scored three goals, we didn't score any, fair enough, we get beat, but that tackle could have put Anderson out for the rest of the season. That could have broke his leg.
Let's go through them. We'll let the ref off with the ref. It's not the ref's fault for the offside.
No, I mean, I don't know. You don't know the linesman, Kenny, do you?
And the good thing, good, if you want to call it that, like it is, that's a moment of embarrassment. It's something that people are going to talk about. If Kilmarnock score that,
it's a goal.
It stands. For all its flaws, VAR just clears that up. So, yeah, like I said, there's kind of an embarrassment attached to it, but I don't know if it's one that needs to keep us awake. The other one that Robert is annoyed about, Jack Butland. Talk to me. Let's have a nice
debate. It's a funny one. I watched a game on the telly Saturday night, Gordon, and when I saw it, I saw it with naked eye live. I thought it was a really good tackle. And actually, the Sky commentators didn't make a big thing about it straight away. And clearly, somebody in the Sky van has brought them back to it. And when you see it again, the first contact anywhere, I think, is Butland on Anderson. Then the ball comes off Butland from Anderson's foot onto Butland and is cleared away. Don't think it's a red card because James Tavernier, who had just come on, is covering in behind, so it's not a dogzo, as you would talk
right,
about.
But listening to Robert, and he can jump in if I've misrepresented him, Robert thinks it's a red for the challenge. Forget whether Tavernier's covering.
I know what you mean. I think it's a foul. It should have been a free kick to Kilmarnock. It should have been a booking to Butland. I think probably that's it.
Ooh, booking, says Roger. What do you think?
Yep, I think he's analysed it perfectly.
High-end yellow card, as they sometimes refer to them.
Possibly, Gordon, possibly.
Jeez. It's an orange, yep.
Oh, that, you, no, in this city.
That one will come up when you have your Willie show, is it?
The Willie show, the plans for this month's Willie show are still in construction, I would imagine. It's a bit early in the month, I don't know.
Might need to be a big one.
I'd also try to fit the Willie show in amongst the festive period. It'd be just challenging for various reasons. Robert,
Does he tear his hair out the way Jim Goodwin suggested last week?
Robert, on you go. Sorry, they're not quite having it. They think that you're nearly there, but they think a yellow.
That's absolute nonsense. If that was Chris Boyd or Sutton charging in, and either of their goalkeepers not happened, the two of them were screaming for the rooftops for penalties.
You know what I will give you, Robert? I thought you should have had a penalty for Diamandi tugging David Watson.
Aye, well, I didn't want to mention that because sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. Aye, that's definitely a penalty. That's 100% a penalty. But as I say,
sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't.
Well, do you know what? See, these days, but what is a penalty these days? Look at what gets given for penalties and what doesn't. Mm-hmm.
At the other end, I thought it was a soft foul on Watson. I thought Mikey Moore's second goal should have counted. I didn't think that was a
Mikey
foul.
Mikey Moore's goal should have counted. I thought his third goal was an absolute belter. It really was. But no, I'm sorry, I'm disagreeing with you. Butland should have been off the bat. That's a ridiculous challenge.
The one thing I would say about the Butland one,
doesn't matter if Tavernier's there.
No, that's just two separate things. It depends what you're accusing it of. If you think it is a goal scoring opportunity, you take Tavernier into account. If you're talking about the serious foul play of the challenge, nothing to do with James Tavernier. We do hear this a lot. If a defender does that, it just feels like it's treated differently.
Yep.
I'm sure referees would disagree, right? But I don't. But this is not even about Kevin Clancy or Jack Butland or whatever. It feels, as a football fan, any level, any league you watch, it feels like goalies get away with charging out and making those big challenges in a way that a defender wouldn't. And why is that?
Don't ask you. Ask Willie. You're on the show with him.
That's what I say. I actually feel like, without getting too deep, I think that's like a cultural football thing rather than just, you know, this game or our league or whatever. I feel like goalies get away with murder when it comes to these things. Maybe that's not even the best example of it.
I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. But I thought the biggest mistake, other than the offside in his own half, was Kamalik not getting the penalty.
Let's talk about that one as well, because Robert said 100% a penalty. You obviously agree. Show me your working. What do we think?
Mo Diamandi pulled David Watson to the ground, and it started outside the box, finished inside the box. It should have been a penalty. People will say, "No, I don't know if he'd have got to the cross or not." So what? Who cares?
No,
pulled him to the ground.
I'd like to, when the Willie show happens. Quite looking forward to getting into if that indeed is included, because Kenny, that is the sort of guidance that we hear. You know, when it comes to a corner, right? Yeah. So that we're used to having these discussions. The box is mobbed. Let's be honest, everybody's pulling. So to try and get some semblance of normality about it all, if the ball goes right to the front post, but I'm pulling you at the back post, you're not going to get a penalty for it. They talk about like impact. You know, am I stopping you getting to the ball? Do you think it's right to take that into account here? Because how do we really know where the ball is going? And just because if you're running into the box and I decide to pull you back and say, it's fine because, he wasn't going to get to the ball anyway.
But what if it dropped him when he was in there? Yeah. So this is the thing. This is why, again, it's the rules. Mm-hmm. It's the rules that are wrong at some time. But what would have happened if they had tripped him? Like, would that have been a penalty? Is it still a free kick? It's still, again, we talked to this before and I was thinking,
do you think Kelly have got a case for a penalty?
My first thing was, he's never going to get to the ball. But should that matter?
Mm.
Should it matter if you're impeding the opponent for getting into the box to potentially get on the end of something? Does it matter if it was a pull or a trip?
I get it when it comes to the corners, as we said, Roger, and it's probably the best way of policing it. There's going to be a bit of pulling and shirt, but I don't know. In fact, look at the goal, rightly or wrongly. That's a player who's trying to run, and the accusation is that he's tripped. You know, if Kenny's bursting through the midfield and I pull him back, but play is raging down the right hand side, it could still be given as a
it's still a foul.
Unless, of course, but then you've got the other, and we've had one or two issues with inside outside the box in recent seasons. Mm-hmm. You heard about that?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. Yeah.
But that's the way it's supposed to work, isn't it? As if a pull starts outside but continues inside. So, again, maybe for those who like at least the sort of clarity that you get, whether it's on Willie Show or those who feel that things should be explained at the time or whatever, be nice to know specifically. Think it's outside the box?
That's a good thing as well, that English Premier League thing, when they come back on and explain the decisions with the microphone.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm all for that.
It's all right, it's better than not, but it doesn't do that much for me.
We've had that on the show before, that they should have the earpiece and should it be broadcast. And then you've got the facilities to actually do it.
You heard some of the PA systems in the Scottish Premiership.
Yeah, I suppose that's
genuinely right.
Well, why don't you give the referee a wee tactics board and he can write it down?
I've seen all sorts. An app maybe to the fans in the stadium. Imagine Shug gets a notification on the Nokia, the ref explaining his decision. Nah, never mind. For another day. Thank you to Robert on the line. We'll take more calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller are here. We've got George and Alec lined up on the phone, so we'll get to them in a second. Let me give you an unbelievable teaser tonight. Very difficult. Another one that the question comes with an instruction manual.
Oh dear.
The Sensible Donkey sends it in. Can you name the player with the most appearances for either Old Firm club from each of the eight World Cup winning nations? Okay. Yep. So name the player with the most appearances for either Old Firm club from each of the eight World Cup winning countries. Couple of caveats or couple of rules. One player per country, right? Mm-hmm. For most games. They do not have to have been capped.
Yeah. So you could say James Tavernier.
If Scotland had won the World Cup, as an example, then Billy McNeil would be the answer, right? Because it's the most appearances for the Old Firm club.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay, so quickly, for people who want a bit of help playing at home, remind us, who's won the World Cup?
So England versus James Tavernier.
Correct, well done.
Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
Germany, Spain, right. France,
and so
Italy.
On. Right, so you've got England and it is James Tavernier. Well done.
Klaus.
Stefan Klaus for Germany?
Yes.
Correct. One more guess.
I am
okay,
going
leave it
to
there. Say, we don't need to labour the point just now. That's fine. Okay. You can get in touch. You can let me know as the show goes on. And thank you to the Sensible Donkey. The questions, if you want to have your question used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. George is next up in Kirkintilloch. Hi, George.
Hi, good evening. To follow up on the Rangers result yesterday, it was good, encouraging. What I would take away from it is the fact that young Curtis managed to get some game time at long last, and that is encouraging. It was nice to see Mikey Moore play and did he get one goal and Majorski got two, I think.
Yep.
So yeah, it was good to see Moore and Curtis gets some game time. I think, you know, in terms of the way forward, I question how much money the manager Danny Rowe will have to spend in January, given the large budget Russell Martin had in the summer. I'd maybe think there'll be a couple of loan deals to the end of the season, but a lot of the guys that were signed at the beginning of the season probably are on long-term deals. Mm-hmm. So we'd be looking at some loan deals. And I'd also really hope, you know, the likes of Curtis and young Lyle Cameron get more game time, because I think that's got to be the strategy moving forward.
What did you make of the Finlay Curtis situation at the weekend? Because a lot of Ranger fans have been pining to see him. Mm-hmm. He came on earlier than would have been expected because of the injury. They went off.
Don't take this the wrong way, George, because I like Finlay Curtis and I think he had a nice wee cameo at the end of the Falkirk game the previous weekend. I didn't think he was at his best at Kilmarnock at the weekend. But he may well get his opportunity. It looks as if Barami is injured. Ant-Man's out for 8 weeks. Diamande, I know it's a slightly different position. Diamande's going to wait to the AFCON. So I think there will be opportunities for Finlay Curtis. I hope he takes the opportunities, because you know yourself, it doesn't matter whether you're at Rangers, Celtic, Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, we cannot get enough good young Scottish players in the league.
What are the politics of that, Kenny? Because I've seen people maybe say, well, the plan was probably that Mikey Moore came on at that time anyway. So, you know, Curtis was introduced as a sort of emergency early on, so it's no drama to take him off. But is it? I mean, there's a player.
I don't think so. I think if you're putting someone at half time or you're putting them in the second half and then you take them back off again, it's not a good look. Listen, Leicester having an absolute nightmare. You know, he's went on 21 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and he's played 55 minutes of the game, so he's had his opportunity to be there. When you're making substitutions towards the end of the game, yeah, there probably was a plan for Mikey Moore to come on. Who he was coming on for? Unfortunately, it was for Finlay Curtis. But he's a young player who maybe deserves more game time over the course of the season. Had a big impact at the start of the season. There's no doubt. Rodgers just reeled off injuries, players going away. There's going to be opportunities for Finlay Curtis moving forward, particularly over the amount of games we're going to have over December and start of January.
And that's where it then becomes, you then, it's over to the player to go and show,
of course,
the fans were right, because fans are going to be in Finlay Courtesy's side.
He did early in the season. I don't think, Kenny will tell you about, players don't like change, they don't like, you know, difference. There's been an awful lot of change at Rangers, and he's a very young man. You know, he would, last season, you know, Philip Clement was the manager, then Barry Ferguson was the manager, then Russell Martin was the manager, now Danny Rowell's the manager. And they'll all have different little ideas for how they want Finlay Courtesy to play. And it's a lot for a young man to absorb. It's a lot for a seasoned professional to absorb. So I don't think the change in the dugout at Ibrox is necessarily helping Finlay Courtesy. But maybe that's the wee chance for him now to get a run of games, even if it's not a run of start.
Seeing the second point about January and the money that Rangers have spent already.
Yeah.
As far as I can gather and what you hear, I don't think Rangers are going to be put off spending because of what they spent in the summer. The 20 million net spend, the American owners are fully, I think, an acknowledgement that obviously maybe some of it didn't work out the way they want, but I don't think that's going to stop them. The only thing that can stop you in January is, you know yourself, it just maybe player availability and who you can get and what's realistic. I've also seen fans saying, well, hopefully that loan's terminated and that loan's... That doesn't happen that often, does it? I can't really see that. I think the guys who are meant to be here to the end of the season alone will be.
Well, again, I think there's always some kind of break clauses in it. It might be a club having a recall. It might be the actual, like, the loan clubs thinking, well, it's no work. You know, it does happen. I don't know if Rangers are in a position where we can kind of firstly rush the judgments. Again, you look at Mikey Moore. If you'd asked people about Mikey Moore two months ago, they might say, well, I think he could go back, whereas he's actually started to make an impact now, and his goal was wonderful on Saturday as well.
They don't have that many players, Kenny.
No.
They've had an awful lot of injuries. They're losing players to AFCON. They're leaving players in. You know, I don't think any of the loans will be terminated because they'll need them all.
And I don't think it's about the spending, how much money they want. They need to spend it wisely. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to get value for money. They need to be putting players on the pitch that are going to improve that starting lineup. If, again, as we're saying, there's nothing won or lost in December. If you want to be serious and get back into a league title, then you're going to need to get players to improve that starting lineup.
Okay, thank you to George on the line. What about Alec on the other line?
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Kenny, Roger.
Hi, Alec.
With regards to the Millwall manager, I'm obviously a Millwall fan, but do you think, is he still going to be there if Millwall have a really, really successful season? And okay, top six, he should be looking for maybe a wee bit further. With his success, you think it could be a downfall for Millwall if he's successful? That there might be a bigger.
Jeez, Alec, why'd you have to go and spoil it?
No, I know, but I'm just being realistic.
I know.
You know what I mean, it's when so you're successful.
An hour ago, Nancy's out. Now, Askew's out.
Listen, it's all, we're sort of tongue in cheek, but it is obviously a concern when you're a club of Motherwell size and you get shiny new things that are. Other people want them. And are we at that stage with the manager,
well,
do you think?
I would like to reassure you, Gordon, and say no, we're not at that stage. But his predecessor lasted 12 games before somebody came and took him away.
So that felt different.
It does.
Michael Vimmer wasn't headhunted because he was brilliant.
Well, I'm sure his new club would disagree with you.
He wanted to leave.
Yeah.
No, that's different.
And it was at the end of the season as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, I always think for clubs. And it's the same with managers and players. If someone comes and says, I want to take your player and I want to take your manager, I think it's a nice reflection on how well the player stroke manager is doing.
Well, specifically him, though. Do you think he is making those waves, do you think?
What, making waves to go or being...
No, to be attracting attention.
Oh, it would have to be. I mean, look at a player, Lennon Miller, was, you know, making a lot of waves, attracted, you got a lot of money for him. And he left the club in good terms, bringing good money into the football club, and left for Italy with everyone's good wishes. I would think when Jens Bertolaski goes, it'll be a similar situation. You might not get £4.5 million, but I'm sure there's things in his contract there that Motherwell would be recompensed, and you would wish him well for the future, because certainly judging on his body of work for the last 4 or 5 months, what a manager he's going to be.
Well, again, it's not. We've talked a lot about winning and how you win. Well, he's winning, which is, it's tough. Again, with greatest respect, Motherwell, St Mirren's, Dundee, he's winning regularly, but it's also in the manner in which his team play. They're an exciting team to watch. They've got exciting players within that team. They've done some really, really good recruitment, which has taken Motherwell to the position they're in, but it's all under his stewardship. I mean, when things are not going well, it's always the manager, but it's also he has to deserve credit when his team are playing a certain way, winning games and sitting third in the league at this moment.
And by the weekend, he made seven changes at the weekend.
They've got a very good squad. You know, I went and watched them last week against Falkirk. It was the first time I'd seen them live. You know, it was the worst performance, but you know, you need to come back. But they still played pretty well. You could still see there was guys who were absolutely outstanding at that weekend on the bench. Mm-hmm. I mean, Just was one of them. He wasn't playing. I was disappointed he wasn't playing. So they've got a squad there where, like you say, they can make rotation in these forward areas as well, and they're still looking very strong.
Five changes before the Hibs game and were excellent and won the game. Three, I think, for the Falkirk game, and then seven for the week. Is that the order of it? Was it seven for the weekend?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Five, three, and seven. And
they've only lost twice in the league. Only lost twice all season. I mean, we're nearly at Christmas. That is a big achievement for Motherwell.
Huge achievement. Yeah.
They're third in the league. They're above Rangers, they're above Hibs, and they're above Aberdeen.
Do you know what I think is the most impressive? Well, not the most impressive. The most impressive is the way they pass the ball and the way they attack. It is. But the most underrated or understated under the radar.
The defence.
How many goals have they conceded?
I'll tell you now, they've conceded 15.
Right, so and how does that stack up?
I'm just looking here. Aberdeen have lost 16, Hibs have lost 18, Dundee United 25... Kilmarnock 30.
Right. So what was the narrative about Motherwell at the start of the season? Ah, it's all nice on the eye. Oh, but they'll give up chances. They'll give you chances. That's back to back clean sheets. You're telling me they've conceded 15 goals. And by the way,
the goalie's thrown some of them in.
See, when they conceded early in the season, it's because the goalie kept dropping them into the back of the net. So I'm trying not to get carried away, Kenny, but hopefully most people who are fair realise we're now in December. This is way, way more than just they play some nice stuff. It's way more than that.
Yeah, because it's got substance now. You know, there's results there now. Again, and they look a dangerous team going forward. It's no surprising that they are scoring. But like you say, when it's a good recipe, have your scoring goals, you're not conceding too many. But just when you watch them, you know, you've got the players are playing fully confidence. You know, you can see it, and there's clearly when you're winning games. When you're making those changes, they're half accepted as well. So see, when you're not winning and you're making changes,
there's a good vibe about the place.
Absolutely, and you know they're going to come on. They know they're going to whether they're playing or not playing. They might get that chance the next game week. So there seems to be a really positive spin on what's going on at Motherwell in the morning. But they're sitting third in the league. Why would there not be? You know, and they say they've lost two games.
Dublin,
playing really good stuff.
Dublin for a weekend, Gordon. Did you say?
Let's see if the Christmas party derails the season.
Wheels could come off.
That could be the turning point. Thank you to Alec. Johnny's on a similar theme, actually. Johnny, take it away.
How are you doing, Gordon? How are you doing, Kenny and Roger?
Hey, Johnny.
Thanks for letting me on. I get, just to follow up with the Motherwell thing. I can't believe what I'm watching. Sometimes it's so good, and. I keep saying to all my pals, I'm like, I fancy knowing Motherwell to win the league, to be honest. and we could have been so many more points looking better off, but all right, we are where we are. You know, it would just be shocking if somebody takes yens away from us or all that, but it's what a joy it is to be a Motherwell fan at this moment.
What will Neil Doncaster do post split? When will he schedule that title decider between Hearts and Motherwell? That's going to be the big decision, I think, facing Hamden.
It's funny because I'm not offended by this. I don't expect the sort of same attention. Probably wouldn't even want it, to be honest. But they are still leveling points with Rangers, aren't they?
Yeah, above,
they sit in the third.
Above Hibs and Aberdeen.
You know, and everyone just speaks about Rangers trying to catch Celtic and catch Hearts. Rangers do have a game in hand, incidentally, I think. But This next month could be really telling. You know, they've got, is it Dundee United away next?
Yeah, Tannadice and Saturday, got. Yep.
Then is it home to Dundee, I think? I checked these earlier as well. And I believe they play Glasgow's Big Two back-to-back.
Yeah, before the month. The 27th, and then the place
the 30th, the midweek.
The 30th, so, TV game, yeah.
Yeah, listen, big month, Kenny. If they could send out a few statements within there. But if not, then you go back to the drawing board, or maybe you check your expectations a bit, sorry.
Yeah, but I think what they've done is they've put themselves in a real strong position to be, again, you're talking top six, you're looking at European spots as well come the end of the season. But like you say, there are only games Dundee United, Dundee, then it's Rangers and Celtic, you know. So you've got the Dundee clubs, you've got the Glasgow clubs. It's going to be, again, it's a big month, a lot of games. The good thing about it for Motherwell is they are rotating their squad at the moment. They are still winning games. They're going to need to do that over the course of it. But it doesn't matter who they play in these forward areas. They're exciting players that have got goals and they can score and create goals.
That's what he say. He goes, doesn't he? He goes Zimbabwe to AFCON. He'll be a loss.
Yeah, joint top scorer in the league still, I think, is he? Yeah, Shankland didn't score. Johnny, Motherwell, actually, over the last kind of decade and a half, of, you know, they've finished second, they've finished third, they've done well. Yeah. But is this the best you've seen on the eye by a distance, or is that recency bias and overlooking some of the other things that have been done?
Well, no, I mean, I liked watching Tommy McLean's teams and all that, so that was pretty good in the eye. This has been amazing. You know, like, this is. It's right up there, like with the same thing, but you're actually confident going into every game when we'll get something out of this, no bother.
It does actually kind of feel that way, and I always kind of fear the worst with Motherwell first, but honestly, it does. It's, I don't know what they've done, but you kind of feel confident in most games, which is just strange.
I think it's great. I think he's done a fantastic job. I actually thought Michael Vimmer was doing a good job last season. This guy's taking it to a new level, and it's so nice. You know, I know an awful lot of Motherwell fans, and they're all as enthused about it as you are, Gordon, and it's nice to hear people so engaged with their club, so engaged with their manager, because it tends to be in this show, you know, we just get people moaning about their manager and wanting them sacked.
Thanks very much to Johnny. Quickly on the teaser, we're looking for a player with the most appearances for either Old Firm club from each of the 8 World Cup winning nations, the men's World Cup. So Germany, Stefan Kloss. England, James Tavernier.
What about Lorenzo Amoruso for Italy?
Yes,
I've got him as well.
Well done.
Yep. Natural Novo, Spain.
Yes, we'll get the rest of the answers when we return, and I need to tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Please don't miss out on this just because you forgot to get in time. There is a brand new JQ5 Pure, a brand new car worth tens of thousands of pounds. It is an absolute cracker, and it could be yours by donating £5 to Cash for Kids. That's it, no catch, no strings attached. You are giving £5 to local children that really need your help, and you could be driving away in a brand new car as well. What is not to like? Text CAR to 84901. You have until 6 p.m. Saturday the 13th. That's when the lines close. Over 18s only. Every penny goes to Cash for Kids, which is nice. You can cancel your donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes. Please don't do it. All the rules are at Clyde1.com. Thanks to Arnold Clark, as always, for their continued support. Text CAR to 84901.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
I can't believe it. Every weekend I'm just constantly thinking, surely this is the weekend that we get it done on the Pundit Predictor. And alas, no. We pick 3 games, you try and predict the outcome, and we give you serious cash. It didn't start as serious cash. Started £100, but it's rolled over every single week. And on Friday, Richard in Dunoon got 2 out of 3 for £1,600. St Mirren Dundee United, St Mirren won. Kilmarnock Rangers, Rangers won. But Mark Wilson, shame on you. You might have had your double back-to-back Manager of the Month award, but you didn't beat Ayr United, costing poor Richard a lot of cash. Good news for you though, £1,700 on Friday, so make sure you play the Pundit Predictor. Thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. Going to speak to Callum in just a second. Let me quickly check on your teaser though. We're looking for the player with the most appearances for either Old Firm club from each of the 8 World Cup winning nations. Men's World Cup. Germany is Stefan Kloss. Spain, Nacho Novo. Italy, Lorenzo Amoruso. England, James Tavernier.
Argentina
is Caniggia, well done.
I'm going to go Uruguay, Diego Laxa.
Oh, I remember him. Did someone not braid his hair at the side of the pool in Dubai or something? No.
Allegedly.
Nah.
Shane Duffy.
I don't know if there's much allegedly about it, but we got calls about it nevertheless. It was a mad time, that, wasn't it? Let's bring in
as opposed to what? Tonight?
Aye, he's somehow slightly madder.
Yeah. They weren't playing Connect 4 at the side of the pool.
Callum is in Bargeddy. Hi, Callum.
Hi.
Are you a St Mirren fan, Callum?
Yeah, I'm. Yeah.
How important was it to get that win heading into the League Cup final?
Yeah, definitely. I think we really needed it. It's been a hard few weeks before that, to say the least. And I think especially with Celtic losing the week before as well, and they're kind of transition period now. I mean, look, I don't think you've probably experienced proper hard times as a club when you're getting so worked up to the point that they are about a tactics board. But look, it's all part and parcel of the game, you know. We needed the win at the weekend, and I think having them drop points was massive for us in terms of that confidence boost going into the game at the weekend.
What do you think? Are you a sort of subscriber to the notion that form goes out the window in a cup final anyway, or is it beneficial to St Mirren that they did get back to winning ways ahead of it?
I don't think you can say form goes out the window, because it's not about form, it's about the players coming in with a good feeling and a bit of confidence. So you're never going to go into a game, particularly against if it's a Rangers or a Celtic in a cup final, if you're St Mirren, where you've not won a game in 5 or 6 games. So it definitely helps confidence, belief in the players that they can go into this and actually do something. And Callum's right, that they've watched Hearts go to Celtic Park yesterday and beat Celtic. So it's not as if it's an unsurmountable task for St Mirren to win this game. Cup finals are tough. You know, I've said it before, I've been in a few myself, and they've always been the odd goal. You know, so it's never easy, particularly when you're the team with a new manager, potentially if the result goes against Celtic on Thursday night, going into maybe 2 losses, going into a cup final where you have to win. And the amount of pressure will be on those Celtic players and that Celtic staff will be incredible from the support. So St Mirren have got their win. They'll be going in with some good belief, a bit more confidence what they would have had they not won. And they can go into it, not with nothing to lose, because it's a cup final, but they can definitely go into it with the underdog, but have a little bit of confidence about them going into it.
Now, the big revelation was that Stephen Robinson's getting a new suit, but the players don't want them. That's what I took away from the weekend.
Asked him that after the game on Saturday night. I'll give you the negative side, Callum. I think Celtic have won the last 8 League Cup finals they've been in, and haven't lost since Cammy Bell's heroics against Kilmarnock, I think back in 2012. They will be overwhelming favourites. But if you want the positives, you ran them very close at Celtic Park early in the season. You ran them to the 95th minute when Callum McGregor produced that goal at your place a couple of weeks ago. They lost yesterday. They have a tough European game against Roma on Thursday night. You have 8 days preparation. They have 3 days preparation. You and your players know exactly the system Stephen Robinson will play at Hampden. Celtic's players are still getting used to the system that Wilfred Nancy will play at Hampden. So there is hope. And I want to ask you, who plays? Does Richard King stay in the centre of defence? Does Alec Gogic stay in the centre of midfield? Is it McManaman or Richardson in the right-hand side? And does Keanu Backes start after playing that last half hour the way he did?
My word, Callum, he's excited. He's wanting you to get the team in 6 days in advance. What are you thinking?
I think Backes has been probably up until the weekend not as good as he had been since he was in his first spell, but I think he was good at the weekend, but I think ultimately if O'Hara's fit for the weekend, then he needs to come back in.
Callum, I'm going to have to knock it in the head there. I was enjoying that. I didn't even realise it was so late. I can hear the music playing in my ear, which is always a worry. But thanks, Callum. We'll maybe catch up before the final at the weekend. Right, we're looking for the player with the most appearances for either Old Firm club from each of the 8 men's World Cup winning nations. So like Argentina, Canidia, Germany, Kloss, Spain, Novo, Italy, Amoruso, England, Tavernier, Uruguay, Laxalt. You need Brazil and France.
Janinho.
It's not.
No.
Is it Emilson Kribari?
It's not. You'll be amazed at who it. Not amazed, because you've given me some interesting names there.
We'll flip it. What about Edouard France?
It's not, no. You know, but maybe a bit of I think this guy is technically French, but is he from a French island?
Oh, Didier Gat.
Didier Gat. Is it, what's it called again?
La Réunion
Island. The Brazilian. Oh, I never got to ask Gordon Dielli's thoughts on Brazilians at the weekend.
Thankfully.
He's still here.
He's still here?
Mm-hmm. Not like physically in Clyde Bank, but he's at Rangers. Quick. Danilo! We'll be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow.